be ready to sit on the edge of your seat, courtesy of these great businesses.
Our title sponsor, J&A Outdoor Equipment. Plus these great sponsors, Summit House Assisted Living, Iowa Mold Tooling, McNeese Tire and Automotive of Britt, Hancock County Co-op Oil, Swearingen Outdoor Services, Stellar Industries, B&B Sounds and Lights DJ Service, Sense Seed and Services, and the Britt Bar and Grill.
Now here's Riding Dirty with AJ Taylor.
And Brad Hiscox, and Chris Mad Dog Madsen, and of course Mel Balsley here, who is our studio engineer. Good to have you along on Riding Dirty, the greatest show on dirt, live on KIWNB 103.
Good
day.
Howdy. You.
That's good. Good day.
Nice day.
Yeah,
beautiful day.
The funny thing is that it was cooler today, but yet muggy. I was sweating today.
It's weird, isn't
it? Wait, you sweat?
You bet. I sweat.
You did something to sweat?
Wow. Oh, my God.
I was sweating all the way up here.
Oh, okay.
Because we were running late again, like usual.
You weren't cutting the grass with the fingernail clippers, were you?
He's the grass cutter.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, a good night of racing back on the 22nd.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I wasn't able to watch it. So it's all up to Chris's.
Uh-oh, no, don't ask about my memory for Tuesday night.
No. It's right. Never mind. I mean, you've got...
You talk and I'll say yes, I remember that.
That's it, yeah, that's...
I did see some of it on Facebook page there. They had it live, and from what I've seen, Lauren Pazica Jr.,
he
run a really good race, it looked like. I think he ended up, what was third?
Possibly, I believe third.
Mm-hmm. Looked like he ran a really good race. And Parker Slagle, he leading most of it, except for the last, two laps?
Yep.
And then, of course, Mr. Shyrock himself.
Mr. Consistent with his new car. They just got tried dialed in. Must have dialed in because he won there and Algona.
Yeah, and he won again down at Boone, too, I think, for the Hunting with Heroes. So a salute to veterans tour. So, yeah, he's been doing pretty good with that new car of his.
And the track was set up nice. I mean, we did have a good situation there.
Yes, really, really good track.
Then Mother Nature decided to turn it into a flood just before the fair.
Yeah. Hats off to the fair board helpers out there.
Algona track?
They had to move everything.
I'm confused here.
From the racetrack over to the old pit area for the concerts. That was a major updealing there, and they got it all in, and everything went off the hitch, and then Saturday night was chaos. I mean, night of destruction. I don't know how many people they had there, but my guess is probably 6,000.
More than likely.
Unbelievable how many people was there.
Judging from the traffic that was coming out of Britt that night, because I was coming back from something, and it was just...
The gravel road south of the fairgrounds, they were parked along the gravel road for 3/4 of a mile.
And the blacktop coming into town had cars parked on both sides. They used to have signs that said no parking. They figured, everybody knows now not to park there, so they don't have many. Well, people parked all the way into town and walked all the way out to the fairgrounds because there's no parking left.
Yeah, it was just unbelievable. Yeah,
crazy.
I bet you there was probably, 1,000 people in the pits, probably?
Oh, I don't know.
They had 29 buses and 18 trailers, 12 stackers, and I think they had 18 or 20 train races. It's like, figure five guys to a driver. Mm. That's a lot of cars.
That's a 10 in the pits.
Yeah.
And how the pits held up is another good story.
Yeah.
In and along the line, but we'll get to that later. And we're going to take a quick break because we've got John Madsen on the line.
Yes, sir.
And he is going to be talking here a little bit about some of the racing things that have been going on and what he's been going through, et cetera, et cetera. As we always do here on J&A Outdoor Equipment's Riding Dirty, the greatest show on dirt, live on KIWB 103 worldwide on KIW.com and on Facebook.
Exmark mowers are known for their signature cut quality, legendary dependability, and an operator experience unlike any other. Because if something's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Don't miss out on limited time savings going on now at J&A Outdoor Equipment. Open at 218 5th Street Northwest in Britt. Or see them at their other location, 1 mile east of Bode on 130th Street. J&A Outdoor Equipment. Two locations to help you get the job done right. View Exmark inventory at jaoutdoorequipment.com.
The fun never ends at the Summit House Retirement Community in Britt. Tenant Luella Lappi explains.
And one of those, I do not want to spend my time sitting in an apartment by myself. I would rather be out with people and laughing, and that's what we did this afternoon. We did so much laughing.
Come take a tour of the Summit House attached to the hospital in Britt today. Call 641-843-3333 or see them online at summithousebritt.com.
Hi, I'm Dave Zroslik, president of Stellar Industries. The employee owners of Stellar Industries reflect the values of small-town living, honesty, integrity, kindness, and caring. With locations in Garner, Kanawha, and Mason City, Stellar is a proud supporter across the North Iowa area. Log on to stellarindustries.com to learn more about Stellar and how you can become part of our family.
Before you hit the road for your next adventure, make sure your RV or camper are ready. At Swearingen Outdoor Services in Forest City, they are RVIA certified and can do everything from routine maintenance to major repairs. Whether it's an oil change, roof inspection, stuck slide out, tires, or a full engine check, they ensure your RV or camper is vacation ready. Swearingen Outdoor Services, they'll make your journey smooth and stress free. Call for an appointment today at 641-590-5117.
Sense Seed and Services in Britt, your local pioneer team, is with you from the word go. With industry-leading genetics and on-the-farm trials. When it's go time, make the most of every acre with Pioneer brand corn and soybean products. Sense Seed and Services in Britt invites you to bring your kids to the Kids Zone at the Hancock County Speedway.
Call 515-689-0503.
Well, back here on Riding Dirty, the greatest show on dirt live on KIWB 103 worldwide on KIWB.com and B103 and on Facebook.
Live.
Oh, yes, indeed.
We've got a live caller.
We do. For the first time, we have a live interview here inside studio, which is fantastic.
John, are you listening on radio or?
Hang on.
There we go. We'll get that fixed. All right. John, can you hear us?
Oh, I can't hear you very well.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
All good.
Oh, okay, all right, great. Now, Chris had done a three-part interview with him, but because of technical difficulties, AI, and some squirrel messing around with a computer, we lost all that, but we were able to bring John back, and this is cool because you had talked to him, Chris.
Yes, sir.
About emergency medical services, fire trucks, and being out there on the speedway. Kind of take it from here because it was really good.
What I did was I wanted to start out by letting people know about where he started. And, John, you started racing how long ago?
I started in 2000.
In hobby stock, right?
In a hobby stock, yep. Hobby stock, I ran that about 6-7 years. And then I decided I was winning quite a bit, decided, what the heck, I'll B-mod.
Before we go to something else, I just kind of your history with the hobby stocks. You ran for 6 years, right?
Yeah, 6 years in the hobby stock. I remember how many wins I had the first time around.
Right.
Probably, 13 or 14 wins, I think, the first 6-7 years. I really didn't win nothing until, probably the fourth year or so, and
sure.
Finally, like ones like Shane Munson and Earl Webner had moved out and moved to different things, and kind of opened the door for a lot of us other guys, and got a chance to run up front and do good, and we did.
I guess I didn't realize this, but you almost won a track championship.
Yep.
How much?
1 point.
1 point.
I believe there was. We went into the last race, and I had won the previous two.
Correct.
And I won the season championship, and all he had to do was finish seventh or better to win it, and he got seventh. So
oh, wow.
So he missed out on the track championship by 1 point.
Yep. That was as close as I've gotten.
Yep.
Missed that gold jacket.
Yeah. He decided to move up then, right?
Yep.
And tell us how that happened.
Well, at the end of that year, I ran over at Mesa City for a special and won it. And the first weekend, and then like a week or two later, they had another big special over there. And a buddy of mine, Toby Boothroyd, was running B-Mod, Sport Mod, whatever you want to call it.
Remember that.
And he ran it the first weekend that we raced when I won, and he wanted me to try it out. He wanted me to get in it and race it over there just to see how I liked it. And I probably should have never done that because I got in. I got the fish hook out there. First heat race, I think I won the heat race by almost a half a lap. And I thought, man, this is easy. And I think the feature, I went up there and I let Toby draw, and I think he drew like a 12. And I thought, oh, my God, come on. So I'm. Went through the pack. It was a dry, slick track, and I ended up getting up to fifth or sixth. And I thought, man, this is all right. You know, these are really fun to drive. Didn't think nothing of it. Well, so I ended up selling my car and buying that. And the next year, the old fish hook got turned right in the mouth there. Yep.
So anyway, go ahead.
I think everybody that next year flooded that B-Mod. You know, a bunch of go-kart kids were moving up, and there's other guys that were, you know, just moving around and jumped into it, and it was just, the B-Mod class just blew up, and I think it was, started off decent for me the first couple of weeks, and then after that, it was just, I about went bankrupt, I think.
How long did you stay in that
parts trailer? I did it that one year. And you said, with that? Yep, I got out of it as soon as I found somebody that wanted to trade me. I found a guy in Eagle Grove that wanted to try it B-Mod, and I wanted to get back into hobby. And
he had a hobby stock?
Yep, he had a hobby stock that he was running in Brit, and he just couldn't figure it out and couldn't win with it and wanted to get out of it. And I was happy to get out of the B-Mod, so... We traded pretty much even up and got back into the hobby and won three or four more races the next year. And
that was that final year when you almost won the track championship then, or?
No, that was 07, I think.
So the hobby stock that you almost won the championship was before you went to B-Mod?
Yeah.
Okay, so then you come back into hobby stock.
That was kind of the main reason I wanted to move up. I thought, well, I've kind of won quite a few races in the hobby stock, and maybe try something else. So
you came back to hobby stock, and how long did you
Came back to the hobby, did that another 3 years, I believe, somewhere around there.
And how'd
that
fare?
2-3 years.
How'd that fare?
It did all right. Yep. You know, I won a few races here or there, and I think I won Mason City once or twice. I won Brit couple times, and I really loved Fairmont, running up that car for some reason. Loved Fairmont.
Really? Okay.
Up on the half mile, and that was just a blast up there. Anytime we got to run up there, and that did really well up there, start in the back river and get up to second or third.
So
I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Then you decided to jump up into stock cars.
Well, yeah. Once again, there was a couple guys that were trying to sell me their stock cars, and let me run theirs in like hot laps. I know, like Wade Nall tried. He let me run his hot laps a couple times, and boy, I felt fun, and it was. I kind of liked it. And well, Merlin Hegland was in Mason City, and he was looking to sell, and it was pretty cheap. So I got my hobby stock sold. I think I ran. What was it? The first of the year, I ran in Mason City and won.
With the stock,
and I had with the hobby stock.
Oh, okay.
And I had the for sale sign on it year.
There you go.
At the end of the year, and nobody bought it. Well, I went over there and won, and this kid come up and said, "I want to buy it. You know, you're a winning car, and I want to buy it." And we kind of haggled on the price a little bit, and he come and bought it. I sat out almost the whole season, and then Merlin, right after the season championship in Mason City, I bought it from him and decided, well, let's run to let's run to Spencer. They were having a special at the end of the year for the Clay County Fair, and went over there and thought, oh, I drew the pole for the heat race. Thought, oh, no. Well, I'm not going to do this. Talked myself into moving to the back and just dropping back there and just ride around. And I probably should have stayed up front. Went around the first turn going down the backstretch, and the leaders got hooked on each other and took each other down into the infield, and neither one of them lifted, stayed off the gas at all, and come back up the track right when I was going by and
nailed you.
I hit the brakes and locked them up sideways and rolled it. Now, you got to be kidding me.
God, no. That's the way you start out.
Half a lap in a stock car, and I rolled it. You got to be kidding me.
Wow.
So
that didn't end your career, though.
We ended up running that stock car for another 2-3 years. The next year I put a body on it and got everything fixed and did okay. I mean, I got a second place on the season championship. Maybe that year, or the second year, I don't remember. I ran okay, and then it was just. It was out of date. It was a heavy car, and everybody was, you know, getting a lot better technology and better setups and
better
I wasn't
equipment,
keeping up
more
with
expensive
that.
Equipment,
yeah, better equipment, more expensive shocks and brand new tires, and I couldn't afford to do that.
That's what we've been talking about here the last couple weeks on this, is about how much stuff costs to stay competitive.
Yeah, it's unreal what these guys are paying for.
You ran stock car for how long then?
I believe 3 years,
and then
that was it.
Kids were growing up, and
My kids were getting into sports. They were getting old enough and getting into high school sports and stuff.
AJ is familiar with them, especially one of them.
Yes,
he interviews her all the time.
Yep,
she's
Aubrey,
a joy
Aubrey
to interview.
Loves talking to you.
Oh yeah, she's a joy to talk to. There's no, I'm terrified because, you know, every time I get with one of these kids that they're really really good at. And I won't mention names like Zarin Eggestall. They end up being in sports, or they end up doing stuff for the radio station. And I always joke at the awards ceremony at the end of the year. Every time I do this, somebody takes my job. And I'm telling you right now, she has her sights set on my job. I just know it.
So
we'll see.
I don't know, AJ. Do you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's cut away for a
John,
second.
Can you hold on?
There's a lot here that we're going to be talking about here. And
I know he's got an appointment at 6:15, so we got to let him go by 6.
Right. Okay. All right. So we'll let him go by 6:30. Okay.
perfect.
You're listening to J&A Outdoor Equipment, Riding Dirty, the greatest show on dirt, live on KOWB 103 worldwide on KOW.com and on Facebook.
Exmark mowers are known for their signature cut quality, legendary dependability, and an operator experience unlike any other. Because if something's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Don't miss out on limited time savings going on now at J&A Outdoor Equipment, open at 218 5th Street Northwest in Britt. Or see them at their other location, 1 mile east of Bode on 130th Street. J&A Outdoor Equipment, two locations to help you get the job done right. View Exmark inventory at JAOutdoorEquipment.com.
The famous Northern Lights Pizza Dash in Garner, home to the tasty crust which originated in Des Moines. Garner Cynics continues Northern Lights' passionate pursuit of pizza perfection using all-natural pizza sauce, fresh-cut vegetables, and 100% real cheeses. Whether you're in the mood for pizza, pasta, breadsticks, wings, or dessert, Northern Lights Pizza Dash at Garner Cynics offers delicious perfection for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Order now and get deliciousness on the go. Call 641-923-2694 or visit northernlightspizza.com.
IMT wishes all racers good luck this season. Iowa Mold Tooling Company has supported our local communities for over 60 years. Just like their first invention in 1961, IMT service vehicles and material handling systems are manufactured to deliver quality, value, safety, and performance. IMT in Garner is now hiring. Develop your career path with top pay while receiving skills training, leadership opportunities, and advanced education programs. Apply today at IMT.com/careers.
McNeese Tire and Automotive in Britt. Big or small jobs, we do it all. Tires, oil changes, and other vehicle maintenance, inspections, brakes, even transmission and engine work. And with 24-hour roadside service calls, count on our McNeese Tire family to be there for when it matters most. McNeese Tire, a mile and a half west of Britt on Highway 18. Call 843-3536 or visit us on Facebook.
Due to the constraints of time, I'm not going to give my meatloaf recipe. But, Chris, you want to keep going here with what's going on with respect to John and everything else like that?
All right. So we're going to put on a different hat now because I wanted to, when I did the interview before, I wanted to find out, just kind of get an idea of where John came from. So he started out racing. Then you sold everything. You got out because the kids were getting older. You had sports and all that stuff. Correct?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
I just want to make sure you're still there.
Yep.
That's pretty quiet. So anyway, then, I shouldn't say then, but since you gave that up, you still stuck around with the racing by being on the fire department.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
I'm on the fire department. I'm the assistant chief, one of the assistant chiefs, and one of our duties is working the safety for the racetrack, I guess, in Britt.
In my interview, I was kind of asking what kind of takes to – do you guys, like, prepare back at the station or at all? Or
usually at least
one. Have training exercises, right?
Yep. Well, I mean, we do – you know, every so often we'll do extrication classes and training at the station or wherever we can set it up, and we'll do practice, you know, cutting cars up and stuff and practicing that. And,
like I said, back in the day, I think you had a friend or somebody that would bring their car in.
Yeah.
So you guys,
we try to do that at least once a year before the season starts, is we'll get with the ambulance and us, and we'll try to get a couple different cars, you know, whether it's a hobby stock car, kind of they're the same cage, and then we'll try to get a modified or a B mod just so you can kind of see, or even a Hornet, just to see where things are, see how tight things are, and then we just kind of go over a discussion of how we're going to do things on the track.
If something happens.
So if we do a rollover, used to be, you know, just, oh, don't touch the car, we got to get them out. Now, we've kind of learned over a lot of the years that we've been doing this. I've been on for, 26, 7 years.
I was going to ask how long you've been on the fire department.
Yep.
But, thank you.
So, what's that? Go ahead.
No, thank you for answering that.
Oh, yeah. So we try to, you know, it used to be, you know, if he was, you know, say he was okay, then 5-6 guys would just flip the car over and drop it on its wheels.
It actually
was a really hard hit. Really hard hit
by hand.
I did more damage. Yeah, by hand. So everything did a lot of damage. The tow truck guys out there they've gotten really, really good at. He knows where to hook onto, and brings it over real nice and slow and brings it down. So for us, it's safer for everybody if he can do that. And bring it over nice and slow and set it on its wheels nice and easy. It's safer for everybody because you got engine oil leaking out. You got rear end oil leaking out.
Fluids of different kinds.
Fuel.
Possible flammable.
Fuel could be leaking out. You know, it's not supposed to leak out, but some I'm sure still does.
AJ's got a question for you.
John, just not to interrupt, but having been around this for a long time, there are things that happen out on the track that you don't see, especially if you're in the stands. And sometimes you have these invisible fires that are out there that you guys have got to know where, and they're extremely hot. How do you guys determine that you've got a situation like that where you might have the driver in peril?
Most of them are with the sprint cars and the bigger ones that we really don't race very often.
Run a different kind of fuel.
Yep, they run the methane or the, you know, ethanol, or, you know, the alcohol and stuff that has, you know, a lot of guys don't run that around here. I mean, it's a very clear burn, so you really don't see it, especially during daylight. At night you will, but during daylight, still daylight out, you really don't see it. We've had, you know, some of them sprint cars that were out there, all of a sudden he pulled over and he's jumping out, and we were like, what are you doing? You know,
running,
and didn't realize that his leg was on fire, and he ran over and jumped in a mud puddle. We were like, A lot of us didn't really know what was going on. So that's kind of a learning experience for us.
Sure. I was just going to ask you, John, when they did have the sprint cars out there, that few years they had them out there, did you guys do a safety training deal on a sprint car up there at the fire department? I can't remember if I seen one when, up there.
When, what's his name from Algona had that 1A, he's related to Sinks. The guys that, they used to, the brothers that did
tires?
Built motors and stuff over there.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Just, anyway, yeah, they
we don't need
they
names.
Had that. Yeah, they had that sprint car and they brought it over once.
Okay.
A big one that we had is when they kind of had that bigger tour for sprint cars. They had their own safety crew.
Yeah. That's
so we went out there and we were their backup, and they were that. It was really neat talking to them guys, and you know they, you know, things you don't realize that they, you know, really had us kind of backing them up and kind of showed us what kind of extinguishers to use, what kind of foam to use. So we ended up having to buy,
special
fire extinguishers just for that.
Huh.
And special foam to put in. So
yeah, okay. they're all around that alcohol or methyl alcohol.
So, Let's get back to what you regularly do out the track there and what you're observing and when you're
right.
You get the car back over.
Yeah, we try to get it back over, and we're really there to make sure it's safe for the ambulance people to get in and check them out or even assist get them out. That's the main thing what we're looking for is fluid leaking. And if they are, we gotta really have our hoses out ready and go, or extinguishers, just be ready. You know, flashes or
anything. You got a guy on a four wheeler that he's usually the first one there. He comes zipping over there. Keith.
Maitland. Keith is out there almost every week. Yeah, he's got the special extinguishers on his, and then usually our rescue pickup or quick attack is inside, and then our rescue van's outside, and our that's what we kind of do is just kind of, you know, make sure it's safe before anybody else enters. And then we kind of let the ambulance kind of do their thing.
Anybody got any other questions? Do you want to go a break and come back? Or
Let's do a break real quick, and then we'll finish up here with John.
With the ambulance part.
That would be great with the ambulance side, because this is another crucial part. People don't realize
the background
work that goes on at the track, and now you're getting a little bit of a clearer picture. And we'll find out more on J&A Outdoor Equipment's Riding Dirty, the greatest show on dirt, live on KOW B103, worldwide on KOW.com, B1031.com, and on Facebook.
Exmark mowers are known for their signature cut quality, legendary dependability, and an operator experience unlike any other. Because if something's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Don't miss out on limited time savings going on now at J&A Outdoor Equipment, open at 218 5th Street Northwest in Britt. Or see them at their other location, 1 mile east of Bode on 130th Street. J&A Outdoor Equipment, two locations to help you get the job done right. View Exmark inventory at JAOutdoorEquipment.com.
Tenant Luella Lappy enjoys her apartment at the Summit House Retirement Community in Britt.
If I need something different, I will let them know, and they have been so accommodating. Anytime I need something, like the other day, I needed my stool looked at right away. I got a new stool put in. So they're very, very accommodating. It's anytime I need something, they're right there to help.
Find out more about Summit House by calling 641-843-3333 or see all the amenities at summithousebritt.com now.
Hello, this is John Erdman with Hancock County Co-op Oil in Garner. I am an ASC certified alignment technician and would be happy to help you with your car or light truck suspension needs. If your tires are wearing unevenly or your steering feels like it's pulling, it could be a sign that your vehicle is out of alignment or that it has steering or suspension parts that are wearing out. Give me a call today at 641-923-2635. I will inspect your vehicle and give you a free quote to get you back on the road safely. Hancock County Co-op Oil since 1930. 615 Highway 18 West in Garner. Call 641-923-2635 or stop in today.
When you're on the road and trouble hits, SOS is more than a call for help. It's Swearingen Outdoor Services in Forest City. RVIA certified and ready to roll. They specialize in RV and camper maintenance, appliance fixes, and major repairs. Whether it's routine service or the unexpected, Swearingen Outdoor Services gets you back to the vacation mode fast. So when your trip takes a turn, make an SOS call to Swearingen Outdoor Services. Call 641-590-5117 today.
All right, we're back. John, you still there?
Yep, I'm there.
All righty. Let's get right. Okay, the whole thing was I wanted to show different perspectives. And the final perspective is you're an EMT now, too.
Yep. So about, you worked five, 6 years ago, our nephew was our paramedic in Britt here.
Yep.
And he somehow talked me into taking the EMT class.
There we go. You're easy to...
I got a limousine. Yeah, you want to buy a limousine?
Yeah.
Hey, there was one out the train races.
Yeah. He talked me into taking the class, and I had been just once in a while I'd fill in as a driver through the fire department for the ambulance, and he talked me into it somehow, and I took it, and I ended up becoming an EMT, and
got
so now
certified.
Now that's another role. Yep, it's all certified.
Yep.
So that's now I'm on the EMT side. I guess I'll take turns wherever when I can and try to cover the races through the ambulance.
Okay,
this Friday. So
that question: this Friday you're going to be there?
I believe so.
I'm sorry, didn't mean to interrupt you. But we want to get to so you don't miss your appointment. I want to get to it.
Yep.
So as an EMT then, what are you looking for when you're out there?
So a lot of times we'll go out only if it's a rollover red flag where it's kind of a mandatory thing. It's kind of our bylaws is that driver is automatically coming in our ambulance and getting checked out.
Yep, no matter what.
Whether they want to or not. That's kind of our stipulation just to check him out and calm him down.
Like you said before, the fire department gets there first, sort of, and they make sure everything's safe, and then you as an ambulance crew or EMT does what?
Well, the first thing is, just make driver contact. Talk to them. Talk to if there's any pain. A lot of times you can just look in their face and look at their eyes and tell whether they're in pain or not. And there's a lot of times, too, is they don't feel the pain right away because they're so amped up that they don't feel anything. So that's another reason for us to get him in the back or him, her, in the back of the ambulance and calm them down. We're going to take some vitals on them, check their eyes, just different things that we'll look over and just to see. And a lot of times, even if they're not hurt, they're upset. So they're not happy with somebody because
I can't believe that would happen.
If you know any racer, it's never their fault.
Right.
It's never their fault.
Right.
So a lot of it is just trying to calm them down and keep them, let them just simmer down a little bit and think about it and take some good breaths and relax. And hopefully by then, if they're calm, they have no pain, there's really, their eyes are reactive and equal, and a lot of times, then at least we'll have them sign off and say, all right, say you're good, but if they are, if they're having pain and just something don't look right, we're going to argue with them a little bit and push them to go get checked out.
Sure.
Whether we take them or they drive themselves or whatever. But a lot of times, it just depends on what we see and what we observe. Biggest thing is, their heart rate's going to be sky high. And
sure.
Blood pressure is probably sky high. And we just got to calm them down, let them relax, bring them back down.
Is there
and then
any certain questions or anything that you ask them? Like their name or something like that?
We'll ask their name, their date of birth, and then,
do you know where you are?
Do you know where you're at? Do you know what year it is? Who's the president? Whether you like him or not, who's the president? So just questions that just to see how they answer. And as long as they answer everything fine, you kind of have a pretty good idea. They're
like
probably all right.
But you said the other thing is you look at their eyes, and if they're, I suppose their pupils are dilated or something, or
Yeah, I mean, if one's huge and one's pinpoint, there's something going on there.
Yeah.
We're not going to stick around. We're taking him in whether he wants to go or not.
Because
so,
in my interview, we talked about that vintage car that rolled over in turn one a few years back.
Yeah.
And that guy went for a very hard ride.
Yeah, and I was on that night.
Yep.
That was the as far as I know, talking with some of the older firemen, I think that's the only one that we've ever had to cut out.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, we got over there and yep, yeah, we got over there and it was kind of funny because the two of the ambulance people and me all took the EMT class to get together, and I was on the fire department, so it was like, we're getting thrown into this, you know, on the ambulance side of it.
So what?
Like, wow, what do we do?
What was it that was he unconscious or what?
No, he was conscious, but he was in
a lot of pain. Okay.
Yep, I think his back or something was really hurting, and you could
did
tell.
You tell him that you're gonna, did you tell him that you're going to cut up his nice race car? Well, I guess it wasn't
was
nice
right
then
because
he rolled it pretty bad.
Yep, and his brother was racing right next to him when he went, so he jumped out and ran over the hill because we went off the turn one.
Yep.
And by the time we got out there, he was in a lot of pain. And I just asked, I said, can you get out? And he goes, no. I said, you understand if you can't get out, we're cutting the whole car off. And his brother was like, do it.
Yeah.
He goes, I don't care about the car, do it. I said, okay.
Because them guys build a lot of cars, I think.
Yeah, we went and it went quick. I think it went quick, and everybody else said it went quick, but everybody in the stands and the pits are like, what's going on? Because they really couldn't see.
Right.
Because we were over the hill, and then we had a rescue van sitting there, so they really couldn't see what we're doing and realize that, well, we cut them out in quick time, and then we're like, all right, how are we going to get them out of here? So it's very tricky on how to, especially with somebody that says they have a back injury.
Right. So I don't want to cut this short, but I know you got an appointment to go to here in about 7 minutes. So if any of you guys got questions for John,
no, I'm good.
The one thing I want to know is, and I kind of know the answer to this, but when it comes to cutting these people out, there's a certain procedure that you have to follow, and you also have to look at back injuries and other injuries as well too, and you've got to make those determinations on the fly, right?
That's got to be tough. Do you have to put a board in there to take them out? How do you
get them out of the car?
What's really hard with these seats. I mean, containment seats are really hard because there isn't a whole lot of room.
So did you cut the seat too then?
No, we didn't. He had an older seat, a little bit wider. What we use is what we call a KED vest. So it's pretty much a small backboard that slides down behind him, and then it's like Velcro and straps that go wraps around, and it goes under his butt, almost to the back of his knees.
Okay.
So it's just a short, kind of a short backboard, kind of. And then, so he just stays seated, and we got it all strapped in there, and then we had 5-6 guys, and we just kept handing them off. And, well, about 3 or 4 of us are up on top of the car, picked him straight up, and he just stayed seated, and we handed him off, and they got him on the stretcher and laid him back, and then we could undo the vest and laid him back down and got him out of there. And I believe he ended up getting life-flighted from the hospital over to Mercy.
Correct, because they put on Facebook something about it, and the video of the wreck, too. And the video is from his wife, and you can hear the wife and kids all screaming and talk about the hairs on your arms and back, your neck just going up. It's just so eerie. But anyway, like I said, John, you got to get going, so I'll let you go. I got a text from somebody, your number one fan. Can you guess who that is?
Probably my wife.
That's it. You're the winner.
All right.
So thanks a lot, John, for helping us out here and give us a little.
Yep.
Yeah, good background on everything.
How things go there.
A little plug in for anybody that wants to be on an ambulance or fire. Don't be afraid to,
they're always looking for volunteers, people, no matter what town it is.
Ambulance. Every ambulance around is hurting for volunteers. We need people and all the time, drivers or EMTs or, even part-time paramedics. We need everybody. And
I really appreciate you taking the time, brother.
Stress off
love
the rest
you.
Of us. So.
Thanks a lot, and have a good night.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Thanks, John.
That's John Madsen. Yep, I appreciate it, him coming on board, giving us an idea about what you see when these emergency people show up. and they never know what they're getting into until they get to that point.
That was very interesting because I really didn't know exactly, you know, they have to take steps, and I didn't realize they had to take steps like that. And it's like,
sure.
It was very interesting. I'm glad that, Chris, I'm glad you got that interview.
I am so glad I came up with that idea.
It is. It's a fantastic idea. Surprising.
Sometimes I can surprise myself.
Yeah, it's
like, whoa.
We're still trying to pick up Mel off the floor. But anyway, you're listening to J&A Outdoor Equipment, Light and Dirty, the greatest show on dirt, live on KLW, B103 Worldwide, KLW.com, and on B1031.com, and on Facebook.
Exmark mowers are known for their signature cut quality, legendary dependability, and an operator experience unlike any other. Because if something's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Don't miss out on limited time savings going on now at J&A Outdoor Equipment, open at 218 5th Street Northwest in Britt. Or see them at their other location, 1 mile east of Bode on 130th Street. J&A Outdoor Equipment, two locations to help you get the job done right. View Exmark inventory at JAOutdoorEquipment.com.
It's showtime at the Brit Bar and Grill. Open mic night is the second Tuesday of every month at 8 o'clock, and trivia nights are the third Thursday of every month. See our Facebook page for other upcoming events or to book a party at Main Avenue Event Center. Call 641-843-4275. Go Eagles!
IMT wishes all racers good luck this season. Iowa Mold Tooling Company has supported our local communities for over 60 years. Just like their first invention in 1961, IMT service vehicles and material handling systems are manufactured to deliver quality, value, safety, and performance. IMT in Garner is now hiring. Develop your career path with top pay while receiving skills training, leadership opportunities, and advanced education programs. Apply today at imt.com/careers.
Rock your party with the best sound around. B&B Sound and Lights DJ Service, providing quality entertainment and music for over 20 years. For weddings, reunions, or any special event, give Brad or Brendan a call at 641-251-1761.
McNeese Tire and Automotive in Britt. Big or small jobs, we do it all. Tires, oil changes, and other vehicle maintenance, inspections, brakes, even transmission and engine work. And with 24-hour roadside service calls, count on our McNeese Tire family to be there for when it matters most. McNeese Tire, a mile and a half west of Britt on Highway 18. Call 843-3536 or visit us on Facebook.
You're listening to Ridin' Dirty, the greatest show on dirt here on KIOWB 103. You will never find the information like what you find on our show anywhere because of the fact that we sit around and look at each other and try to come up with ideas. And Chris, hats off to you. I mean, people need to know that it's not just guys riding around in circles out
right,
there making
exactly.
left turns all over the
yep.
place. There's more to this than meets the eye.
A lot more to it. I think what we need to do is get Mark to call in sometime.
Mark.
Hiscox.
Oh,
Mark, I know you're probably listening.
Talk about prepping track? Or what?
Yeah, give everybody an idea how what
how
it takes to prep
involved.
A track.
Well, we already know how much rain it takes to water the track. That nice little tidbit
yeah.
you gave us.
Oh, my goodness. But,
does anybody remember?
We were at 4 inches at some point in time. I remember that.
No, but then, the rainfall that we had, and he said that was equal to...
Yeah, I don't...
35,000 gallons or something.
With a 3, and I know that.
Yeah, 350,000. A lot of water.
Yeah,
out of that.
Yeah.
And we had about 4 times that amount here recently.
Oh, yeah.
Boat races we could have
sure,
out there.
Sure.
Exactly.
But the thing of it is, and I find this really important, and we were talking about this off air, is, okay, you're an EMT, you're getting this guy out, you're dragging him out from the top because you've got to cut him out from the roof and pull him out that way. You can't do sideways because the chair won't go.
Right. It's not just the roof. You got a roll cage that you got to cut through tubing
cut
and stuff to get that all the way too.
And then you get this guy out and then, okay, ex-athlete talking here, very ex-athlete. your blood pressure is up when you start a game, a match, a race, or anything like that. You're already going up, and you don't even realize that's the case when you're out there doing whatever you're doing.
Exactly.
The heartbeat is up, everything is going, and you have to then balance that and try to stay calm, cool, and collected. But then all of a sudden, some guy takes you out, rolls you out into the field, and now you just put all this money into this car, which is going to be very expensive, and you want to find out, I mean, you really want to finish the sentence. But that, I mean, that's the point. How can you get an accurate blood pressure on this guy? How can you get him to calm down? How can you get him to
just like
come
John
back
said,
down to the real world?
You got to get him calmed down in the ambulance to get him calmed down.
And to me, what better person than somebody that's been there, that's been a race car driver himself, to be the one that comes up and tells him, hey, I know I've been there.
Right.
So I know what you're going through. Just you need to relax. We need to make sure that you're okay.
Yeah, that's... They just got to get him calmed down so they can get an accurate.
Yeah, in our interview that I did with him earlier, when I talked to him, one of the scenarios came up where I used to work at the racetrack is at the pit gate there from the stands there by the fans going back to the racetrack. And this gal come up just hysterical. That's my husband. That's my husband. I go, I'm sorry, but you can't go back there. You can't go out there. I go, that's the last thing they need. One more person running around out there.
Yeah. Yep. Even,
and John
even right there,
he's, got, the, he's had that with the pit crew. The whole pit crew call comes out running out there.
Yep.
And he's like, get the heck back. We don't need more people getting hurt out here.
I can remember when I was down in Arizona, there's this where the track, where you exit the track and then you go into turn three. Okay. And the problem was that the fence, and you see what I'm talking about, it's pointed. Okay, yep. So you have this edge that's right there. And I can remember these modifieds going four wide. And Ed Beebe, if you are listening from Arizona, I don't know how you did this, buddy. He's on the outside edge, and he just literally gets knifed up the middle. He loses the engine and everything in this modified, and he ends up being in the hospital for several weeks. His wife drove. His two kids drove, his daughter and his son drove, and you could see these guys, first of all, absolutely shaking, and then all of a sudden running out of the press box and wanting to get down on the field, and it was at least a 15-20 minute ordeal, pulling the car back, trying to put out the fire that was caused by this, and then trying to get him out of the car as well, too, in the same process. I've always been an admiration of those guys that do that kind of work.
Yep. I remember Ryan, when he was racing, I was a back straightaway flagman, and he rolled his car and ended up right there going into turn three. And I run over there, and I says, Ryan, you okay? You okay? He says, get this car turned over and get me out of here. It's like, calm down, Ryan. Calm down.
That kind of reminds me of another story, that a guy that we used to help, the story he told about how him and another car got together. And they're kind of rivals. And the other guy flipped and was on his lid. And this guy got out of his car, walked over. He goes, are you all right? And he goes, yeah, get me out of here. And the guy just turned and walked away. As long as I know he's all right. That ain't my job. It's the EMTs and the fire department take care of him.
All right, guys. So we got another 10 minutes here. So we're going to take a quick break here. Come right back. No more breaks? No more breaks?
Yeah.
Seriously? We're all done?
I was going to say, holy smokes, we're going to do an actual whole hour show?
Holy cow.
Mel says no. Mel. He's putting the kibosh on that.
He's put a stop to this all the way. Okay. All right. Fine. Be that way.
Mel's hey,
we gotta,
charge.
We got to talk about. We got to talk about tomorrow night.
Yeah. Yes.
Huge.
The mulligan night.
Yes.
We're shooting the mulligan
night.
And by the way, guys, as usual, we're going to have the wrap-up show.
Oh, yes.
So it's all going to be good. Okay, so we'll have the wrap-up on the points, titles, and everything else like that as well, too, like we always do. And so we'll have that coming up. Plus, we have the race coming up here very soon.
The
so
big let's, one.
Let's talk about
stars,
this.
Two nights.
The mulligan race tomorrow night. Candy toss for the kids.
Yep. The makeup for the, I think, the Santa. Santa's.
Yeah, I believe that is. But, they have to have that. They got to get one more race in order for the... Somehow or another, with the IMCA points,
you at least have to have so many races to make it.
You have to have 10 races.
Yep.
To make it an official IMCA points season. Qualifying race.
And the reason why they do that, folks, is because of the fact that all of the other leagues that are out there, okay, it doesn't matter what they are. The IMCA sets up 10 races that you have to have. You have to get those in. That way, it can be legitimized that, okay, we ran this many races.
You can use those points that you got for those races for your national points.
It goes towards their national points and the payout.
Yeah, they get a payout afterwards. So. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
So you can't just have one race and say, okay, the guy qualifies. You have to have a set number of races.
Right.
And within that races, you have to establish this many points in order for you to move forward. It's just like you would be in, say, soccer or baseball or football or basketball. You got to play a certain number of games, and then that qualifies you to move on to wherever you need to go. So that's why they're doing this, and that's why we have to have this makeup game, mulligan match here, this racing going on.
I take quite a few of those in golf.
Yeah.
I took one Tuesday. We had our golf outing for work.
But we do have guys, and we do have point totals in front of us, as a matter of fact.
You want to do that quicker?
So let's do that real fast. Okay, let's get those points in real quick, and then we'll talk more, Hill, about what's going on. So, guys, if you can, let's get those up and running and let everybody know just exactly where everything
all
is.
All right, I got here the hobby stocks. We have our leader, Steve Wickman from Emsburg with 177 points, followed by Joshua Munson of Clear Lake with 175 points, and then Brandon Shear from Garner with 168 points.
The Outlaw Hobby Stocks, Josh Munson with 190 points. Tanner Green, he's from Hampton, Iowa, 181. And Brandon Shear from Garner with 176.
In the IMCA Sport Mods, the 88N of Nate Albrandt from Clear Lake is running the top with 178 points.
Atta boy, Nate.
Followed by Jacob Tackney of Burt with 174 points. And then Jeremiah Reed of Otho, Iowa with 158 points. So the big battles between Albrandt and Tackney.
That's only 4 points there. That's pretty good.
See. These races are tight, by the way, folks.
Stock
There's
cars.
A lot there.
Kelly Shyrock is leading it.
What?
Imagine that.
Huh.
With 197. Parker Slagle is in second with 181. And Chad Palmer is in third with 177.
That Parker Slagle, he's pretty impressive.
Yes, he is.
I don't remember hearing of him before until this year.
He ran last year.
I'm sure I did. I just, like I said, I forget
in our modifieds, Jeremy Mills is leading with 190 points. Kelly Shyrock's in second with 184. And Jerry Flippo is in third with 173. So there's a couple of these things that could
a couple are going to be coming down. Like when we interviewed my brother, and he said that one year his track championship came down to 1 point.
Yeah, so it ought to be a good race because I think.
Do the $9,000 points count?
I think Friday night does, but I don't think Saturday night does.
I didn't know if that. I'm not sure. National points, I think, but I don't know about track points.
Yeah. If anybody can, within the next 5 minutes, text us at 828-MIX-KOW and let us know. If the
Mel's over there going,
828-649-5464.
Okay, I guess Mel ain't worried about it. I thought he wanted us to get the heck off
and
here.
By the way, guys, we're going to take one last break and then we'll come back to wrap this up. But there's something that you got to remember. Jerry Flippo, by the way, in the last race, in the IMCA modifieds, he had suffered through a summer of bad luck. He finishes the race more than half a track ahead of the eventual second place driver, Cody Connect. Connect charged from sixth to finish ahead of Clint Halstead and Jeremy Mills. So anything is possible
in
modified races. There, don't even count anybody out at this point.
And stock car race, it could be the same thing, but probably the top finisher won't be changing. But I mean, all these races, anything could happen. Really, I mean, there's. I don't think we have any of them first or seconds far enough that they're already locked in.
No, not a single one. No, so anything can happen here in the upcoming races. We'll finish things out with our final lap. You're listening to the J&A Outdoor Equipment's Riding Dirty. Okay, guys, come on. The J&A Outdoor Equipment's Riding Dirty.
You got this.
Show on dirt. Live on
KW3
worldwide on KW.com and on Facebook.
Exmark mowers are known for their signature cut quality, legendary dependability, and an operator experience unlike any other. Because if something's worth doing, it's worth doing right. Don't miss out on limited time savings going on now at J&A Outdoor Equipment, open at 218 5th Street Northwest in Britt, or see them at their other location, 1 mile east of Bode on 130th Street. J&A Outdoor Equipment, two locations to help you get the job done right. View Exmark inventory at jaoutdoorequipment.com.
The fun never ends at the Summit House Retirement Community in Britt. Tenant Luella Lappi explains.
And one of those, I do not want to spend my time sitting in an apartment by myself. I would rather be out with people and laughing, and that's what we did this afternoon. We did so much laughing.
Come take a tour of the Summit House attached to the hospital in Britt today. Call 641-843-3333 or see them online at summithousebritt.com.
Hi, I'm Dave Zroslik, president of Stellar Industries. The employee owners of Stellar Industries reflect the values of small-town living, honesty, integrity, kindness, and caring. With locations in Garner, Kanawha, and Mason City, Stellar is a proud supporter across the North Iowa area. Log on to stellarindustries.com to learn more about Stellar and how you can become part of our family.
Before you hit the road for your next adventure, make sure your RV or camper are ready. At Swearingen Outdoor Services in Forest City, they are RVIA certified and can do everything from routine maintenance to major repairs. Whether it's an oil change, roof inspection, stuck slide out, tires, or a full engine check, they ensure your RV or camper is vacation ready. Swearingen Outdoor Services, they'll make your journey smooth and stress free. Call for an appointment today at 641-590-5117.
Sense Seed and Services in Britt, your local Pioneer team, is with you from the word go. With industry-leading genetics and on-the-farm trials, when it's go time, make the most of every acre with Pioneer brand corn and soybean products. Sense Seed and Services in Britt invites you to bring your kids to the Kids Zone at the Hancock County Speedway.
Call 515-689-0503.
That used to be the music that we would send out the modifieds to when I was down in Arizona. Oh, yeah.
Makes me do my Angus dance.
The crowd would actually start singing right along with it. Annual Night of 1,000 Stars concludes the IMCA Speed Week next week at the Hancock County Speedway with racing on Friday and Saturday night at the 4 and 10th mile dirt oval in Britt. Guys, this has been a fun year with regards to a lot of these racers. We've seen guys that have finished some outstanding races, some in a three-way.
Oh, yeah.
That have just been absolutely spectacular.
The races that we've had out there, I mean, we've lost a few. But the races that we had out there was very good races. Again, I mean, just like last year, they had real good races. The track held up real good. Hats off to Darren and his crew.
Mark,
I mean,
and all them, yeah.
What an incredible job he's done.
Can't say enough about how good of a job they're doing out there.
And we had him on the last show, and he was talking about all the things that go on above and beyond it. And it would be nice to get people to come out. Friday night is going to be a beautiful night.
It's going to be a beautiful night, guys. And bring the kids out. They can get a bunch of candy, and there's going to be good racing. And like we said, the points chase is close.
Right there.
And they're going to be going for that season championship. There's going to be good races, and the track should be really good.
Here's the thing. With the weather the way it's supposed to be, so you can't have an excuse, it's so hot out.
Right.
It's supposed to be just in the mid-70s, I think, the rest of the week.
Yep.
So anyway, it's going to be halfway cool, and them engines and them race cars are going to probably be just perfect.
Yep, they're going to be...
We're not overheating and...
Running some good horsepower.
Unless they jet them up a little bit or something.
Well, that could be.
You're going to have... the important point is you're going to have clean air, because you're not going to have that much dust. With that temperature the way that it is, it's really hard for the track to lose a lot of moisture just in the heats. You're going to lose that moisture by the time you get to the mods in the mains, obviously. But when you get to that, so the track itself is going to be a combination of tack and slick out there, which is going to be nice because some drivers are going to find that slick. Some guy is going to find that tack and work the engine. But all the way around, you're going to have clean air to work with. So these guys are going to be running at a high peak efficiency.
That's what I'm saying. That it should be really good for the motor, so they should be run really fast.
And by the way, if you're out there and you own a business and you want to sponsor these races, get a hold of the fair board or something like that. We need sponsorship out there. Like Darren said, let's keep this track going. And
it's an institution in this state.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, with the quality of races that we've had out there in the last 3 years, you can't beat it. I mean, you just can't beat it.
Well, more drivers are coming here than they are to some of the other tracks. And we saw the rankings. We're at like third or fourth in the state.
Third as far as car counts go.
Yeah. Third as far as car counts.
And I just heard on the radio today on a different station. Sorry, I was over on that side of Iowa.
Security!
Wait. Let me hear me out.
Okay. Just let him put the taser away.
They're talking about the Kasuga County Fair races. And the guy they interviewed is, I think, the curator of the museum over there. And he was just talking about how Iowa is the highest in per capita racetracks.
Yep.
Right.
Per capita, whatever it's up, yep. compared yep. to any other state right. in the whole yep. Alaska, Texas, whatever. Iowa has the most racetracks per yep. capita.
That's a definite
factor. I find
factor.
That pretty interesting.
Yep. It's amazing. And everybody,
if we can keep them around people, that's what I'm trying to get at. So we need people to come out in the stands, watch races. We need people to help support by sponsoring races, sponsor some of the race cars, whatever. Sponsor the town that's in show them.
You think about it, and you pay the X amount of dollars for your sign to be out there in the center of it. It's out there for 15 nights and 700-800 people a night. Mm-hmm. Whatever with their, in the grandstands, they see that sign every time. You think about that as far as advertising, that's pretty cheap.
Well, you're a guy that has been advertising here on the station, and you've seen the results for you. And that's what advertising does. It pulls people towards you and gives you the advantage that the other people don't have.
Well, here's another
thing. Yeah, if you want to sponsor a show, maybe we'll do an hour show every time.
Here's another thing. During the Hancock County District Fair, I'm out there. I do the after-concert mm-hmm. parties. I don't charge the fair nothing. I just want my name on that video screen that's out there.
Right.
Playing during the middle of the big Night of Thousands, or not the big Night of Destruction.
It's playing the every night.
Tractor truck pulls, everything. And it's got like, big screen out there, all the sponsors.
I've gotten probably four or five shows just off that sign. So it's paid for me doing that for nothing for the fair. I'd probably do it for nothing anyway because my dad was a fair 4-H leader for I don't know how many years. He was president of the fair board. Yeah, it's a whole big deal. My family has been involved in that fair for many, 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 many years.
And so, they've made it what it is, to be honest with you. That's one of the best fairs you'll find around, and it's obvious. I mean,
as far as a county fair, but, you know, yeah.
Your district
but we're now district, but, yeah, it's a very, very good fair. I mean,
well, guys, it's been a very good show.
Yeah.
Not that I want to cut it off right there, but.
Well, Mel's starting to fall asleep over there. I saw him counting sheep.
It's been a great show.
He's
anybody who didn't tune in, you better catch it later.
I'm telling you right now, you can find it right now if you want to. You will be able to hear it tomorrow on our podcast. On KIOW.com and B1031.com. If you missed any part of what John was talking about with respect to the fire department, the ambulance, or whatever, you want to listen to that again because that's going to be huge. It's a big part of what happens out there on the track. And we're trying to encompass now with this way that we're doing things, the entire aspect of the track. So people get to see everything from the ownership to the fire department, to the ambulance, to the drivers, to the whole nine yards. You want to find out more about racing. It isn't just going around in circles. It is what it is. It's amazing. So we will talk again next week. Right, guys?
Next Thursday at 5:30.
Chris, outstanding job getting John in here. Fantastic work. Appreciate
Thank
it, sir.
You.
Especially on the short fly like we had to have it there. But Chris Madsen and, of course, Brad Hiscox and, of course, Mel Bosley. I'm A.J. Taylor. Good night. You've been listening to J&A Outdoor Equipment's Ride and Dirty, the greatest show on dirt, live on KOWB 103 worldwide on KOW.com and on Facebook.
Bye.
Riding Dirty with AJ Taylor was brought to you by these great sponsors.
Our title sponsor, J&A Outdoor Equipment, plus these great sponsors, Summit House Assisted Living, Iowa Mold Tooling, McNeese Tire and Automotive of Britt, Hancock County Co-op Oil, Swearingen Outdoor Services, Stellar Industries, B&B Sounds and Lights DJ Service, Sense Seed and Services, and the Britt Bar and Grill. Riding Dirty with AJ Taylor, Thursday nights at 5:30 on KIOW and B103.
Your favorite mix.
The best mix and more, KIOW.